audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Here we are.
Hey. Yes, Drew acknowledged his presence. Oh, you know what I need to do with this mic? Oh, that's not going to work. All right. You know, Adema is our guest tonight. Adema was in here November 4th, it says. Somewhere on. Oh, October 4th. Yeah, that makes more sense. And I also saw Tim, Dave, and Chris are all here from the band. I saw Adema in New York at the Carson Daly show, the not the MTV show.
The night show?
The late night show.
Yeah.
You guys performed there. Must have been about 3.5-4 weeks ago.
Okay.
Is that
yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Yes, they were very good. I was just standing in the back, went to say hi to Carson with some friends and all that kind of stuff, and never did say hi to the band. But I was there, and I want you to know I've been at every gig. I've just never said anything.
Silent observer. Nice.
From the beginning.
Just in the back every time?
From the garages of Bakersfield.
With circuit. Carson?
Yeah, an unknown Carson Daly at the time, because this is 8 years ago, many of these gigs.
Yeah.
But, we've stood in the back.
Nice.
Yeah.
That is nice.
Yeah, well, how long have you guys been at it?
10 months.
10 months? Well, the tour, 10 months tour, as a band, yeah, almost 2 years.
No, I mean, but how long you guys been together as a band?
2 years.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it, dude.
Jesus Christ.
It's been a whirlwind roller coaster to fame, bro.
It was a Cinderella story.
Yeah, I just assumed you guys are from Bakersfield, right?
Well, we've all been in bands together. Like, some of us, Dave and I, have been in band, been playing in bands for 6 years. Chris has been around for who knows. How long have you been
around? He's years. I'm the dinosaur.
Yeah.
And how did you guys find each other?
Well, when both of our bands, just talking about Chris and Mike's band, or Mike and Mark's band, when they broke up, our band broke up, Dave and I's, at the same time, and we just got together and started writing music for fun, really.
And then Chris's band kind of broke up.
Yeah.
So all our bands basically broke up at the same time. It was just good luck,
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know how it's time for a band to break up.
I was going
to
say, bands don't really break up like that, do they?
Bakersfield's like a really small
town, and as far as musicians, all the other musicians. Although we weren't in the same band, we knew each other.
Well, all the guys in our band, the rest of the guys in our bands that broke up are now in a band together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the other guy. Yeah.
The band's called Pearl Jam.
And the rest is history.
That's right.
What about you and Drew? How did you guys meet?
I was in a band, and we actually played together in a battle of bands in Pasadena about 1974. Van Halen was on that.
That was the Star Search episode.
Yeah. We both
did you beat him by 3/4 stars?
Something? Yeah, we're in the male lead actor category. I used to like the Star Search where they had that. They're now doing a scene from Dr. Zhivago. And it's like they got 1 minute and 10 seconds to do an acting scene. Oh, that, yeah.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah, the dark-haired gentleman. He was great. I think that's when he knew. I knew the show was on the way out when they started. I think the acting thing didn't start. At the beginning of the series. I also like the, 4.5-year-old chick who just belts out The Greatest Love of All.
She 4.5-year-old is Ethel Merman.
Yeah, just right. Belting it out in white cowboy boots and white cowboy hat and those little cowboy culotte skirt things. It always seemed like child abuse to me. And the stand-up is always bad because you got to do that super watered down. Totally. You got like 1.5-minute set and you got to do all this really crappy stuff and you can't say darn and you know what I mean? All right. So what am I missing here with the Adema? Is there any, some dates? Oh, European tour. We got that.
Doing Ozfest this summer.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and is there another? Snowcore tour. Yeah,
we're finishing that one up right now.
Yeah, is that all? I know it sounds stupid, but it's all snow parks, right?
No, actually, I think it's mostly, it's the...
It's just the name of a winter tour.
The fact that it's during the winter, you know, it's actually a pretty aptly named tour for us, because it's kind of, like, one city we'll be in, it's like jeans and t-shirt weather, it's pretty nice, and then the next day it's like a blizzard, you know?
Pretty snow core.
But, like, out here, don't they have that up at, like, Mountain High or Big Bear or something? Or that's a palace? Yeah. It's a snow core?
Yeah, it's a palace. You never been there? Come on, talk about snowboarders.
They're going to decorate it, you know, and make it festive.
All I know is
are you going to be in the back?
Well, they show
Carson. Me and Carson.
They show a video of some snowboarders. That's
all right.
That's
all right. Well, now it's all better.
There you go.
All right. You ready to take some calls?
Let's do.
Let's talk, and we'll hear something from Edema off the CD. Call Edema. Zach?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Hey, how are we going?
What's up?
I have two questions for you guys. First of all, I am wondering if I were to get a piercing in my penis, if that would help not only like my like when I come, but also if it were to help a girl during sex.
Ouch!
How do you figure it would help her, you having some stainless
what
steel?
What kind of piercing, though? Yeah.
Well, because I'm pretty much like the smallest kid you'll ever find in your entire life. And,
size-wise, you mean your penis?
Yeah, dude, I'm just tiny as hell. So.
Right.
So I'm wondering if
are you going to get a piercing of a bigger penis on top of your...
Exactly.
That might help.
In the tail of the donkey.
Yeah, he's putting a 76 ball type hoop on there.
I can say that I have my penis tattooed.
Really?
Yes, I really do.
What do you have?
I have your name tattooed on my penis.
Great.
I've heard of people doing that.
And that's, I'm not lying.
Yeah, so you go, if he goes to the bar and goes, hey, I'll bet you $10 I'll get your name tattooed on my penis.
And they can, you know, be my witnesses.
Yeah, we have seen Chris's penis.
Really? I mean,
it says his name. It says Chris on it, but when he gets a boner, it says Christopher.
No, it says your name, Adam. It says your name.
All right. My name's
that would be cool to do that, though, on the penis.
No, I can show you later if you want.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
All right, cool. I'll show you.
I just mean, like, you turn a Steve into a Steven, with an erection. You know,
but as far as the piercing, I don't know if that would turn the girl on or not. But
no, we on this show all the time. How many people call up and tell us how wonderful the sort of experience is of having people with hardware? You know, no, that's not something that people are just enamored with. It doesn't change anything anyway, you know?
All right. So you want to do it, and now are you going to do it?
I'm thinking I'm going to do it because spring break's coming up, and, like, my buddies and I are going, like, on a trip, so.
Oh, well, then, oh, yeah. Of course.
If you're going to get an automobile and travel more than 75 miles, you better have a piercing. You're going to be in for a world of hurt. You get pulled over at one of those checkpoints, and there's no hardware in your penis. You're going down pretty hard.
Just don't fly with that thing.
I can imagine, like, you know, going through the... I mean, the airports are bad enough now, but imagine having one of those things, you know, it's like...
It's spinal tap.
One thing I know is these guys would not get stopped in an airport. No way.
No way.
I get stopped every time.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
No, Drew, you're what they're looking
every
for.
Every time.
White guy with glasses.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what I always loved, too, is we had a one-way. I flew to Orlando about a week ago, and we had the one-way ticket, and everyone was announcing, oh, that's it. We're screwed. You get the one-way ticket, you get pulled over immediately. Yeah. They're looking for that.
No.
And I'm like, yeah, but I know where you're going here, Drew, but I'm saying if every terrorist is aware that the one-way ticket folks are getting pulled over, don't you think those folks, as much as we hate them and we hate to give them credit for having any intelligence at all, don't you think they would be buying two-way? The next thing that happens with a terrorist involving an airplane, I guarantee there's a two-way ticket involved there.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. It's not like they didn't get the memo.
Exactly.
And by the way, cheaper for the two-way, which is something no one has been able to explain to me in any kind of satisfying way, Drew, by the way, why it's cheaper to go there and back than it is just to go there.
I don't know.
Still have not figured that one out. Ed?
Yes.
You're on with Edema. You're 38? 38. What's up?
Okay. Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
All righty then.
Pardon me?
Go ahead.
Oh. I like to give oral to my wife on the backside.
Mm-hmm.
And can I get ill or...
You could get like a ringworm or something, couldn't you, Drew? What could you get?
Well, if this were an indiscriminate act in other parts of the world, it'd be a great way to get disease. But there are not many diseases that are in fact transmitted that way in this country these days.
What route would that be transmitted
through? The oral fecal route.
Yeah.
Your favorite.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite routes. You guys ever been on the oral fecal route?
The salad route?
Is that the salad, route?
Yeah.
Honestly, no. I think Tim has, right?
Oh, I've been on the other end of that?
Oh, the receiving
giving
end.
Giving it? Or, I'm probably
I think
been.
I've probably received it and I said, stop. You know, don't do that anymore. I don't like that. But I've never gave it.
You what know. Was his name?
Whatever. Yeah. No, I don't know. There's something really weird about that. You know, the whole
thing. I like the assertiveness, the puckishness. Stop. I don't like that. Yeah. Don't go there.
And he probably said, Chris does not like it anymore.
Hey, see my tattoo?
Hey, Ed?
Your name.
Going oral on the backside, too. I like that.
Ed, does she like it or do you like it?
Both.
Ooh.
That means he likes it and she tolerates it.
Right.
Uh-huh. She enjoys it, really?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is I really love to do it, and I don't know if it's a fetish.
Oh yeah, it's a fetish. But and she has no. Oh, by the way, it's a fetish, but it's fine. And there's nothing that she has. She has no medical conditions. She doesn't travel, right?
No. Wow. No
hepatitis. You've never done IV drug user.
No.
Never had any infectious.
No, but I was afraid of the fecal thing, kind of.
The fecal thing.
Yeah. But it's all right. You got to have something, right?
Put that on a loop, please.
Is it true, Drew?
You must have something in order to contract something. Yes. You have to.
If Drew clears it and it's all good, I mean, do it. Do what you like. Yeah. You know? Go
keep
for
it. There.
Is she? Ed, does she ever, you ever bust her? Like, she says she's on a diet and you taste a little Arby's down there.
Oh, jeez.
That could happen. Yep.
She's been hitting the buffet.
Tasting a double-double.
That's a double Western. That's
always showered up.
Always showered up.
Oh, always beforehand.
Can you tell the difference whether, you know?
Marshmallows and strawberries?
Right.
Whipped cream?
What do you got?
As opposed to chili size?
Yeah, I'm saying, could you tell the difference?
Next caller!
No, I gotta know. Ed, no difference?
No, I don't know of any.
Okay. No, you wouldn't know what she ate?
No.
Yeah.
Okay there, buddy.
All right.
All right, good times.
Just make sure you're not doing this to multiple partners, and your wife, if she travels, be careful.
What do you do for a living, just because it'll be funny no matter what it is?
I'm in banking.
See? Funny. Doesn't matter what the answer is. Lick ass, whatever you do. Plumber, banker, funny.
He lives down the Southwest, and there are actually things down there, Southeast rather. There's like a Vibrio you can get from raw oysters, and there's hepatitis C. And things. So if she gets a diarrhea, it's going to be bad times for him.
Well, she takes, she hits the shower first. To me, I would find that. I can't even get a massage, because I feel bad for the person who's giving me the massage. I feel bad that, women get pedicures all the time where they have these little Asian women massaging their feet and rubbing it with lotion and stuff. To me, I would feel bad paying someone, get down there and rub my stinky feet. But this, I don't know. I couldn't hold still. I would feel too bad for whoever the victim was. And I would not look at them as a partner. I would look at them as a victim, like someone who lost a bet. All right, Erica?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had a question about the kava-kava route that he was talking about.
We were talking about this last night.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It aired tonight where I'm from.
Right.
My dad gave me a bottle of it to help sleep. Does it not... You said that it affects your liver or something?
Well, there were some recent reports of some real serious liver damage from it. And my point was, here in Los Angeles, the LA Times has just gone on the war path over extremely useful medications because six people had serious liver side effects. This is a route, a product that has really no no unique.
Does it not really do anything?
No, it does do something, absolutely.
No, it does.
And it might even be addictive.
It does, not for everyone.
It's
I took that cramp in Santa Barbara once and stayed up all night.
I know, but it's what's called a GABAergic agent. It's similar to Valium and those kinds of drugs, and it might even be addictive.
No, not for me.
Addictive, really?
It might be. It might. I've had some concerns about it, but now this notion where there's been some serious liver problems, if this were a prescription medication, it would be immediately eliminated. I mean, immediately.
Yeah.
So I have grave concerns about this.
Well, listen, everybody, here's the deal. Everyone's looking for a version of Valium, a version of fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Go get the real thing and knock yourself out. That's my motto.
If you're getting a Valium effect, it's because you're getting a Valium effect. The point is, it doesn't matter.
My dad gave it to me to help, like, sleep. I have trouble, like, kind of calming down.
Did you try it? Did you try it?
Yeah, I've only taken it once.
What'd it do? What'd it do for you?
I mean, I slept well, but I don't know if that was just coincidence.
No, it's the same mechanism as if you took any other kind of sleeping pill.
Oh, okay.
And so why not take, again, this something needs to be carefully monitored. You need to use something that's more to the point, I'd say, and less dangerous.
All right there, baby. But listen, if she pops one pill, she's not going to screw her up, is it?
I don't know.
And if it screws with your liver, should you not drink it with wine?
You should just not do it.
So my problem is I can take a multivitamin without washing it down with some booze. Every pill that goes in my mouth gets washed down. I don't know how to swallow anything unless there's booze chasing it, you know?
Well, what else in your house besides beer and
I got tap water.
Oh. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's not drinking water, though.
I'm just saying I always look at the booze as the way to activate whatever drug it is I'm taking. I look at that as a catalyst.
Well, after all, any drug you're taking, you're looking for a sedating effect. You're not a stimulant user.
No. I want to be kicked down.
Yeah, so you're taking either opiate or benzos or sleeping pills, and you're taking little wine coolers on top of that.
Wine coolers?
Wine coolers.
I don't know about wine coolers.
How dare you jeopardize my sexuality in front of the masculine band.
Chronic and wine coolers.
No, I do not drink. I drink spritzers. There's a huge difference between a wine cooler and a wine spritzer. No, I like some red wine.
Is there any
wrong with that.
Addictiveness to this root thing? I don't even know. Oh, yeah.
We're concerned about it. It works through the same biological mechanism as Valium. Then anything that does that carries addiction. So there you go.
Okay. Well, and also anything that works, people tend to get hooked on,
either
right?
You like.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Joe's 25. Joe?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
What's up, Joe?
I was just diagnosed with type 1 genital herpes.
Stop!
Yeah, I wanted to ask Dr. Drew what the difference is between type 1 and type 2.
Very little. You wouldn't know it.
Really?
Same thing. And they both occur in the mouth, both occur in the genitals. Type 2 is a little more intense, particularly the first outbreak, maybe even 20% of the time associated with like a meningitis syndrome. But other than that, it's really no big difference.
Because it was just my first breakout, and it really wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm. So it's probably, the type 1s tend to be the less intense.
So it's pretty much the same thing, have the rest of my life, huh?
Well, the infectivity and the duration and frequency and intensity of the breakouts will decrease with time. 10 years from now, you'll essentially not be getting them anymore. Probably.
Really? What's the norm for it to, you know, start to taper off?
A year.
A year?
Yeah.
And like, how often do you think I'll have outbreaks?
Unpredictable.
About every 34 days.
You may have only just one more this year or so.
Yeah.
It could be very infrequent.
All right. Now, the other thing is, like, I had a sore on my nose, like, in January. And, like, I was wondering if, like, maybe that was it, and, like, maybe I gave it to my partner, you know, through oral sex.
That's a possibility. That kind of thing happens, for sure. Adam's got a thing in his neck.
What? Yeah.
He's looking at your chin. That's right, your chin.
I got it on my chin.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. Drew claims I got it from, like, whoring around or something, but... No, I didn't. I know where you got it. I know where I got it. Huh. I worked at a boxing gym.
Oh.
And I'm pretty sure that some
this is
sweaty
where you practice that
I don't see it. Is it in remission right now?
It doesn't come out that much. Oh. But I got it. Where do you think I got it, Drew? Like a sweaty boxing glove hitting me in the face or
that,
something?
That or that rimming experimentation you were getting into at the
rimming?
Oh, with the owner. That's right, when I got the raise. Right. That's right.
Mm.
No, seriously, if some guy like wiped his face with his glove and then smacked me with his glove, would that work?
It's conceivable, but it's as far-fetched as the kids that call up and say, so, if a guy ejaculates into my mouth, and then we kiss, and then he goes...
Well, that happened too, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I actually have a question about this. Is now, is it only... can you still spread the disease unless... You have to have an outbreak to spread
no,
it?
No, you don't. That's the hard thing about it. You really can't tell when you're... If you have an outbreak, you are definitely infectious, but you can also be infectious when there's not an outbreak.
Oh, really?
Well, bad times.
Yeah, bad times. But I don't know. It just varies from person to person, yeah. right? No one ever really knows.
It's very variable.
All right. Let's talk to Joe, who's 25 and who is a female. Joe?
Yes, hello. I'm Dr. Drew. I've been listening to y'all forever. I think y'all are great.
Great.
And, yeah, well, yeah. I'm from Virginia, so this sweetened stuff doesn't come in. I had a comment about the guy that called in earlier about getting his not-so-large penis pierced for his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And just to let him know, it's not going to do anything for her. I have a female friend that's been a professional piercer for the past 10 years now, and the piercing is only for the guy.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
It gives an extra tug for him, but it doesn't do anything for her.
Yeah.
Interesting.
An expert.
So it doesn't hit a part on a female or something?
No, it really doesn't do anything for her whatsoever.
First of all, Adam, how many women orgasm during intercourse? That's such a small number already.
If you're asking me, I would say a little
in your field
less than zero.
in your field work.
And from my experience,
yes.
zero.
Okay.
Less, like I said, is there a less than zero?
No,
I mean,
not like minus 4 stars.
I get minus 4 stars when I get reviewed all the time, so how come there can't be less than zero?
Okay, in your case, there can't be.
Yes, minus 4 orgasms.
Right.
Okay, so, hey, Joe?
Hey, yeah.
Also, thanks for that. So your friend does this for a living?
Yeah, she's certified to do it.
She do a fair amount of penis work?
You know what? What if this is...
She has a gynecological table, and she does probably about 3 to 4 penis piercings a week.
By the way, certified just means that she watched someone do it for a year.
No, certified means that she actually paid to go to a school to have a guy that's been doing it professionally who's based out of L.A., and she's got her certificate on her wall like she went to college. She's the only person.
No, wait a minute, Joe.
She's got a certificate.
I could issue that certificate.
That's understandable, but there's a lot of people that are just taking needles and whatever and sticking them through
a bunch
of kids.
She's a pro.
And
she has a gynecological table like the stirrups?
Yeah, so that she can get them in the right position to where it's...
Get the guys in there? That the guys get... Yes?
Yes.
No. Why do the guys need stirrups?
No.
Why do the guys need stirrups?
No, the guys don't use the stirrups. It's just easier when they lay down and whatnot. It's better than sitting up.
She means a table to
Hey,
move.
Joe?
She is certified.
Joe, what if, the piercing was like some kind of, like, new, like, French tickler, you know? It wasn't just, you know, the little surgical steel balls. It was actually
a funnel?
Yeah, some kind of, like, thing designed to actually turn the girl on. I mean, is that a possibility?
It's a possibility, but it doesn't
work. I mean, guys
what if it had a gooseneck on it that was adjustable?
Thank you. See, Adam goes straight.
I know where Chris is coming from here.
It doesn't work.
Like one of those mics at a fast food stand.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
But guys put beads under the skin, all kinds of stuff. No.
It doesn't work.
All right, Joe. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. Bye.
And I don't think that's a gynecological table. Is every table that tilts up in the back a gynecological table?
It could be a barber's.
She means a table with stirrups. Is what she means.
I thought it was kind of interesting that she's like, well, he went to, you know, he learned how to do it at a piercing school in L.A. Like, L.A. is the hotbed of
piercing school. Every corner of L.A. for those of you who are not here.
Piercing school.
That's right.
With honors.
Next to every coffee shop is a piercing school.
Right. It's not to diss people that take. There are people that take this very seriously, and they take their training seriously and whatnot. But the point I'm trying to make is that this is not standardized. It's not controlled. There's no state licensing. There's nothing. Yeah. Zero.
Don't offend the piercer, whatever you do.
No, I don't mean to offend them. But I'm sure the ones that are very serious about the job would have no problem qualifying for any kind of state agency. But
it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. You can go out and put a bar through someone anytime you want.
Well, she did have the certificate, Drew.
Hangs on the wall.
I have one on the wall that states that I finished an entire pig's trough at Farrell's in 1978, so I'm fairly qualified myself.
Qualified eater.
Sure. Dima is our guest tonight. We're going to take a little break. We'll come back. We'll hear something from them and talk to more of you after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Kim, Dave, and Chris are all here from Edema. We're going to hear something off the self-titled CD in just a second. I think we'll take one call, and then we'll hear an Edema song, yes?
Yes, good point.
Yes.
Good.
All right. Joanne?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yeah, hi.
What's up?
I'm just looking for some interpretation on something my boyfriend said to me.
Do you need a little? Yes. Mm-hmm. It can be hard to decipher the male language.
Yeah. Because I don't understand the concept that he's speaking about.
Need some space, be alone.
See, either he needs a threesome or he needs space.
Right.
No, threesome might be, I understand that. I'm okay with that.
Imagine it. Okay, strike one.
How much space do you need from someone who wants a threesome, though?
Right.
No. Well, we were talking the other day about one of his past relationships. I mean, he'd been in this relationship with this girl for a long time, and he had cheated on her, like, several times.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just asking, you know, what it was about her that made him want to cheat on her.
She didn't watch him carefully enough?
She didn't rotate her vagina enough. He got the same one like four nights in a row, and he knew it was time to move on. That's what happens. Happened to me once. Got burned.
So the whole point is you're nervous and you think that he's cheating.
Here's the problem. Women do not understand what motivates men to cheat.
No, you don't. No.
Yeah, what happened?
No, I understand. Well, I've cheated on past boyfriends of mine.
Yeah, well, why have you cheated?
You stinking whore.
Well, I'm getting ahead of her.
Hold on. But did she tell us why
no.
he said? Why did he say he cheated?
Well, this is what he said. He said, I agree with Eddie Murphy when he said, you know, I'd F her, but I love you.
Bitch.
Right. What he's saying is he'll do anything he can, but that has nothing to do with how he feels about you, which is a typical male perception.
Right.
Women, why did you cheat when you cheated?
Because I wasn't getting what I wanted.
Okay, that is not why men cheat. Period. Almost
we want more of what we wanted.
That's right. Men can be completely 100% satisfied with the relationship and cheat. And they cheat when they can. That's it.
Yeah. Well.
They cheat because they can.
And we like to collect things. No, I mean, I'm serious. I always think about this. I mean, how many chicks you know who collect cars, who have a bunch of cars? Chicks like celebrity chicks who are completely rich just drive one car and never have a second car sitting in the garage. Most guys, the second they start making a little coin, they go out and they get themselves some hot rod or some classics.
I just went to Elvis's house. He had like 50 cars and there was one car for, what's her name?
Priscilla. Right. She had a Hyundai.
One car, yeah.
She had an electric bike.
A Hatsu.
Yeah, I mean, that's the deal. And why? She doesn't care. She wants Elvis in one car. Elvis wants a bunch of cars and a bunch of Priscillas.
Yeah. That is the nature of the male biology. Are they happier when they pursue that? No. Is it okay that they do that? No. But it is innate in the biological mechanisms. And women don't have that same drive. And so you would cheat for different reasons. There are different motivational
properties. You'd get a second car if the first one broke down, but not just for having the sake of having a second car.
That's just in the nature of the differences. It's important to know the differences between men and women.
There's no emergency car.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Are we talking about cars now? Or is this still?
I don't know. I love them.
Like if it's, when I talk to lots of young people, I'll say, you know, I'll ask them, why would a young woman cheat with lots of women? They'd be saying, well, she needs validation. And the women will then themselves say, well, she must need validation or she feels insecure. And you ask, well, why a guy would cheat? And they're sort of bewildered. And you ask the guys, well, why would you cheat? And it's like, because it feels good.
Yeah.
That's it. Period.
Right.
That's as far as it goes with the male.
All right. So now you're convinced he's going to cheat, right, Joanne?
Well, it doesn't give me a lot of faith.
He certainly put you on notice a little bit.
You think that's what was going on?
He just said, if it happens, it doesn't mean anything about how I feel about you, which is accurate, but it doesn't mean in my opinion, that doesn't excuse him to do this. It diminishes, it's disrespectful to you, it eliminates the real health and mutuality in a relationship.
I thought that, you know, we had a really strong, good relationship.
But he may not want that at this point.
How long have you been together?
Just about a year now.
And do you have any kids or anything?
I have a child from a previous marriage.
And, you plan on getting married to this guy?
Well, oh, God, I don't know about that. But it's certainly, you know, something that
I've invested myself in. Does he do something in the construction field?
No.
What's he do?
He wants to be in computers, but the industry is sort of down on that.
Just learn how to operate one first.
he's doing security patrol right now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, that's nice. He's definitely shooting on you.
Hang on to this guy with both hands.
Is it true, Drew, that that women actually have a something in their body that
makes them
when
bond.
They have sex, they feel they have something we don't have. I don't know if it'd be a hormone.
It's
or not.
Well, there's a lot of
they
things.
They equate it to childbearing or something. They think they're gonna have a child.
Kind of. That's one way of interpreting it. But the hormone that's most talked about is one called oxytocin. It's just agreed about a pituitary gland, and men basically don't respond to it, and women respond to it by feeling very bonded to the person they're in the presence of when this hormone is released.
Well, that's all. I think they, you know, women equate sex more to love, and touch is just like playing pool or something, or going bowling.
You can't see, men have a capacity to go to an intimate place. They just, it's when they're under the influence of high levels of testosterone, so when they're early 20s, it doesn't happen very readily. Just biologically, it just doesn't happen very easily for them.
Well,
they're happier when they go
to that intimate place. They rape like five kids. And they put a few beers down and then leave. I've been there.
How about a song?
I've been there.
That'd be a good name for a or that intimate place. All right. Anderson, what are you going? Don't go.
Or that fecal thing. That'd be a good.
Yeah, the oral fecal round. Here's a little something from Dima. This is called The Way You Like It.
Remains. No reason why you're gonna wanna take me home tonight. It's all the same up in this game. The people change, the money claims everyone from everything. I can't believe that you would think that's just for me. I was amazed at the torment that you put me through. If you could see right through the greed and all your needs, you'd realize that you were just about as bad as me. Sometimes I only remember. Same. You can't complain when you can pay the bills and do your thing. Appreciate, don't play your hate, congratulate. I miss the pain and the torment that you put me through. You must appear when everything is crystal clear. You'll realize that you should do the things you wanna do. Don't give in to what people say, don't be ashamed. To separate the feelings on your mind, you can't complain. Sometimes I only
Edema, everybody, off the CD Edema. They're in the studio tonight. We're going to hear something else off it in the 11 o'clock hour.
So finish that thought. Ted Nugent is a hypocrite because?
Oh, yeah, we had a serious...
talking about the Nuge.
Serious talk about Ted Nugent during the Edema song.
Once again, the show interrupts our lively conversation.
I know. Should we just take a commercial break so we can continue talking about Ted
what
Nugent?
What is hypocritical about my homeboy, Ted?
Well, I agree with a lot of his crazy notions about, you know, people get a little freaked out about hunting and stuff like that. It really doesn't make a whole big impact. But Ted's a little bit of a prick, you know, because, you know, it's the part where he gets in the band and he's got to be the lead guy all the time and he's pushing people out of the way and everything. That's the part where you realize a guy's kind of a prick. That part. We're talking about the VH1 special, and very timely. I think it aired about 2.5 years ago. For some reason.
And he's had so many hit records since then, too.
Yeah, he's on fire. All right. Eva.
Hi there.
You're 32?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Well, I just have a quick question on the mechanics of something happening to me that hasn't happened before sexually. And I don't know, I've never had the experience before, but I had an orgasm and just gushed everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I've been with mates, or I've had partners that I was in a monogamous relationship with for long periods of time, and it was never an issue, really, unless I lost interest in them, and then I can always tell it's time to move on.
Right.
But, these are men we're talking about.
These are men.
You mean when you start hearing that... high top on the gym floor sound, it means it's,
you got it. It's time
to pack the bags, huh?
That's right.
Perfect.
That's right. So anyway, I happen to have this booty call at the moment, and he's really great, and we're great sexually as far as compatible goes. And I had this experience where we were just going at it, and it was great, and all of a sudden it felt like someone just like dumped a bucket of water on us.
Did you maybe pee?
No, it definitely was not urine. It was lube.
Okay.
Neighbor turning a hose on you, perhaps?
I thought maybe like the whole, you know.
Yeah.
The thinking is that there's a synchronous contraction of multiple glands in that area, the Skene's glands, the Bartholin's glands. They're all capable of producing a fair amount of fluid. It's sort of, all those glands come together to form a prostate in the male, and that produces a ton of fluid. Some people.
Yeah.
And I know.
A little powder.
How old are you? Yeah, you've used it all up the way.
32.
So
you're in your sexual prime, right?
Yeah.
You know.
It's all coming together.
Is that true? Is that true?
Yeah. Women get more into it as they get
older.
Maybe
she's just now kind of...
Well, there's some, again, we've done shows where we interviewed women that have this squirting phenomenon.
I've heard of it before, but never had it. It kind of tripped me out.
A lot of women don't have it until they do, rarely have it. Some have it all the time. But the ones that have it regularly kind of, they describe the orgasm associated with that as sort of different, but not even necessarily more intense. Was it more intense for you?
That one was in particular. Now it's happened one other time, but only with this one partner.
And was it more intense than previous, or?
The first one was. The second was kind of about the same.
Yeah, so there you go. It just starts happening.
So you didn't necessarily feel anything more. You just squirted a bunch of stuff.
And that's sort of the way it's experienced. It's different, but it's not necessarily a lot.
It's not like I would miss it. You know, if it doesn't happen again, it's not no thing.
How did he feel about it?
I'm annoyed by it, and definitely made some comments about it right then, and then, of course...
I think guys are generally impressed with themselves when they do it.
I think he thinks he's the one that did it.
Yeah, well, be fair.
Is he the one that did it?
Yeah, you haven't had it with other people.
Give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, okay.
We're all trying to get there.
Yeah, eventually it's going to get old.
I mean, for him.
Yeah. Hey, Eva? Eva?
No, phone's
up. Something happened with her phone.
What do you want to ask her?
I'm just curious... I don't know why I got to make small talk with everybody. I want to know her thoughts on Ted Nugent.
Did you want to know what her boyfriend
did? I was curious. She's 32. She's got this, friends with benefits or this sort of booty call guy.
Ask her.
I was a little curious, like, you know, is she divorced? What's going on?
Yeah,
how come there's not more relationship here? But I think her phone crapped out.
Ava?
Yep. It sounded like she was having some problems before that.
Right.
All right, here we go.
Edema's here. We're going to take a little break, and we'll come back. We'll talk to more of you. We'll talk to Christina, who's 18. She likes to have her boyfriend pee inside her.
Cool.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. This is
unacceptable.
After this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Edema is our guest tonight. They got themselves a CD out. It's called Edema. Takes all the guesswork out of buying it. And we will hear something else off of that CD in the next hour. Let's hop back to the phones and see what we can do for the kiddies. Christina?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, yeah, what's up? 18.
Yep. I have a question. I want to know if there's any diseases or infections I can get by having my boyfriend pee inside of me.
Well, let's answer the question first. And I imagine you can get vaginitis that way. It's not, you know, your vagina is an environment that, if you disrupt it in any way, bacteria can overgrow.
Oh, it's a mess. I mean, like, you get sheepskin seat covers for your car, and you got to go to the hospital as a chick because so you got some sort of weird growth up there.
Yeah.
You know, women are like, I can't sleep with my legs apart. They think I get things. I can't eat this.
But for the most part, urine is sterile, so it shouldn't really do anything. The more interesting question here, though, is what is this for you? Why do you like this? Why do you even think about this?
Well, I really like having sex with him. Like, he really turns me on, and I think I just want to try something new. And when he comes inside of me, I can barely feel it. Like, I know he's doing it. I like the fact that I know he's doing it, but I mean, with...
All right, stop. This is a very interesting thing. And I something I've always believed. Women
are nuts.
No. Women have a instinct for receptivity.
Yeah.
And they need to feel like something's in them, something's coming into them, you know, like they're receiving something.
Well, that's why I do the belly button fill. That's my move.
So describe to us what this is. What is that impulse? Help us, as men, that this is a bewildering impulse.
Hold on. She's 18.
Well, I'm just curious.
She's fixing to take the GED next week.
She's a curious impulse. Right. She's having very...
Go ahead, Christina. Tell us all about it.
All right.
It's just a warm feeling, and I like it.
Do you ever go...
Shock.
Do you ever just go...
it.
He peed in me. That's gross. Do you ever think that, or what?
No, I think it's kind of cool. It feels good.
You want to be ashamed of yourself.
When a guy has an erection, it is very difficult for urine to
That's
be
what I was
expressed.
Just going to say.
And some guys, it's damn near impossible.
So is he actually, like, standing over you, just aiming, peeing, or he's inside you, peeing?
No, he has his penis inside me.
And he can do it? He can pee?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was surprised that he did it, too, because I heard the muscles tighten and you can't do it or something.
The only thing that comes to mind, this is kind of some food for thought here, is it like, does he do this in the morning? Is it like a morning wood, like a pee-pee type thing? Or
No, this the past two times, the only two times we've done it.
It was a volitional, like, would you please pee in me? And he obliged.
Well, he didn't want to at first, but I mean...
He obliged. Yeah, we got
it.
And where are you when he does this? Are you in the bed?
The first time we were in his bed, and the second time we did it in the shower.
Yeah, now you're thinking.
Are you having any problems as a result of it?
No, I'm not. Just wanted to call and ask. Mm-hmm.
Is the sensation that good, or is it more that you guys are sort of getting naughty and digging a little deeper sexually?
I think it's both. I mean, it does feel good. I mean, it's like after we have sex and then we pause and I'm like, you know, just pee in me, please. And it feels really good.
That is some weird impulse. Yeah.
How about
please?
How about number
water?
How about number two? You ever think about number two?
No.
Where would that go exactly? Number two.
I have no urge for that.
All right, baby.
Not yet. Peeing in you is a gateway.
We've offended her delicate sensibilities.
She's
that's right.
One.
I do have a line.
We've offended her sensibilities. Yeah.
How dare you,
Adam? I would never in my life.
All right, there, Christina.
Thank
a lot
you.
Of pressure on a man, by the way, with the orgasm and the urination and maintaining the erection.
Yeah, that's a lot on your plate.
I'm not sure if the average male can carry that one out.
I think I can handle peeing
immediately after orgasm.
Yeah, because
after
that's what she
said.
I said it seems kind of weird. I don't know.
Does he ever go? I just went before we started.
Sorry. Give me another beer.
I'm done, baby.
Christina, does he go after the orgasm?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think it'd be easier to do after.
Yeah. Oh, no, the muscles sort of shut down then.
Wait a second.
Valve is off.
Hold on.
Hold on, Drew. Please. Thank you, Tim. Every time you have an orgasm.
You get up and you go pee.
You get up and go pee.
About 2 or 3 minutes later, not immediately while you're still inside. It's still, you're still
erect. You can probably hang up in there for a couple minutes.
Well, you know, you're
what's
still
this
erect?
Inside stuff, by the way? I'm beating off. I don't know what you facts
what
are doing. You mean in my room? You know how sad it is? I don't even equate an orgasm with being in a woman.
Yes, I see that sad.
Inside of what?
Let's go to a break, please.
All right. No, I could do it. I think I could do this.
Some guys can. Obviously, this her boyfriend can.
Yeah.
All right. I can do that.
All right. We'll take a little break. Demas here, and we'll be right back after this. Levine, fast growing LO Radio, North America. We got ourselves a 50,000 watt flamethrower over here, kiddies. Boy, I'll tell you what, Rockin' the House of Demon in here tonight. Boy, these guys are hot, hot, hot. I'll tell you that right now. Dr. Drew is my partner over there, my homie, boy. I'll tell you, hey, Drew, yeah, baby.
Hot,
Drew,
hot.
Watch my back over there, buddy. Love, doctor. All right, coming to you tonight. Tell you what time is it, Drew? It's 11.
And 34 seconds.
Yeah, that's 1 hour past 10 and 1 hour away from 12, straight up.
What's the weather?
How's the weather?
Oh, I tell you. No. It's varies out here in the Southland. I mean, it's 62 in some places right now and as high as 65 in others. So who knows? You're rolling the dice when you leave the house. Bring a sweatshirt, everybody.
High wind warning through the calm pass.
Yeah, coming in about 4 knots. Look out. All righty. Get some more traffic updates.
High-profile vehicles.
Yeah, wind warning. There's a mattress in the number 3 lane in the 118. Look out for brake lights. All right. Done wasting everyone's time. Tom?
Yes.
You 21?
Yep.
What's up there, buddy boy?
Last semester, I guess, I went to the doctor because I've had this lump in my right breast. And when I went to him, he, like, examined it and... He started asking me all these questions, had I smoked pot and stuff, and naturally I told him, like, well, no, I don't know. And then...
Well, that's what causes this. If you're a daily pot smoker, it's called gynecomastia, and you can certainly get that from pot.
I'm not a daily pot smoker. I smoked it probably 8 times in my entire life.
That's then no, I wouldn't do it. No, it's something else. But it can happen from other things, too, so it's something...
He said it was probably glandular. Or...
Yeah, well...
I mean, I don't know. I thought maybe it was a tumor or something, because actually I thought I had it when I was, like, 15, but...
Right. Typically,
swells and decreases.
Maybe he's a late puberty guy.
No. What happens is, it's actually from estrogen produced. When just around the time when you're going through puberty, you'll have high levels of circulating estrogen. The testes haven't really turned on yet. A lot of this is produced by the adrenal glands. And 13 to 15-year-old males will get breast enlargement. If you smoke pot regularly, it can be more pronounced. So most men, that kind of settles down and goes away, but for some, it stays. And okay. You may be in that group.
Is it something to worry about?
Well, whenever you have a swelling behind the breast, you want to be sure it's not a cancer and that kind of stuff, and make sure it's not associated with any other endocrine problems, but it's not likely to be, no.
Okay.
All right? Cool. There you go.
Right. So this marijuana thing, that's true? I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah. I don't have any boobies.
So. It's pretty common for pot. That's why his doctor asked him about that.
Is this like after years and years?
No. Good year or two will do it.
Wow.
Yeah, if you're predisposed to it.
If you're predisposed.
I never knew a lot of hashers. I never knew any guys who had boobs.
I would have been, I definitely would have.
Just think what you would have done with them if you had. Scary.
Oh, yeah. Would have been on them.
Yeah.
Probably would have married him.
Bouncy.
Between the...
And you just get a lump or something, right? Or
you get breast enlargement.
Wow.
Yeah.
But is it in a lump form or is it an entire breast?
It can look like a boob.
Wow.
It starts looking like a big grown man.
I know a dude that actually, when I was like 13, 14,
there you go.
Guy I went to school with.
Yeah, but he didn't even smoke pot though, right? That was just... Yeah. See, true.
What if you're just really stoned and you think you got breasts coming in? That's probably what's happening.
Yeah. Then you're freaking out.
Dude, I got breasts coming in.
Like 15, we haven't talked about this in like 8-9 months. I don't make a big deal out of it.
No, that's true.
Yeah. Nice rack.
No, that's just crazy. I never heard, I didn't know that. Yeah. So.
You scared?
A little bit. No,
don't be.
Chris?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, me and my girlfriend, we've been together a little over a year, and recently in the past 4 months, she started revealing to me that she had been sexually molested when she was a kid. Mm-hmm. And she told me that, you know, it's really no big deal, that it was a friend of, it was a friend, like, one of her friend's fathers when she was really young. Say 8 or 9 years old.
It's a big, sure. It's a big deal. Well, it often is a big deal. Have her relationships been stable in her adult life?
She had a 4-year relationship before me, but it was kind of abusive.
All right, so yeah. She's got some stuff going on.
Yeah.
So her friend's dad did this to her when she was 8 or 9, you say?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's a big deal.
And she said, well, I talked to somebody, but I didn't really want to talk about it, and I guess I kind of got over it.
Yeah, it's not something you just kind of get over. You get to kind of incorporate into your being.
Right, and I think, and it's starting, I don't know if I'm reading into this too much, but when we first got together, you know, it was kind of like, you know, we went out a lot together as a couple. She'd wear provocative clothes, this and that, and it was no big deal. Then it started to tone down. Now it's starting to pick back up to where, you know, basically people go, hey, man, are you dating a stripper? Mm. And, you know, I'm a professional. I hang out with professionals, and it's not really doing a whole lot for my image. Mm-hmm. And it seems like she's trying to attract a lot of negative attention.
You pansy! A professional what?
Strip club DJ.
No. You know, like, I'm a graphic designer.
Oh.
You pansy!
Well, listen.
Yeah, well.
I know if I ever bring a stripper anywhere, it's, yeah, everybody thinks it's just unprofessional.
She just thinks he's with a stripper.
Yeah.
The thing is,
she gets more crap than you do.
I can't believe you brought a scantily clad woman into around us.
Can't believe you're dating a guy in a band.
But Chris, if she is sort of dressing inappropriately, is what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't really feel like.
I know, but that suggests lots of things about her. More than just that a couple of episodes of inappropriate touching occurred. It suggests that there was sort of a personality issue here. I think that a lot of, as I've known a lot of women actually that have a tendency to, and you know, I'm not going to stereotype and stuff, but it's a lot of, maybe they get into, you know, women that get into stripping have these tendencies, and they have the stuff going on upstairs to begin with. You know, it's like she obviously has some insecurities about herself, and maybe it makes her feel comfortable and makes her feel want. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think she's a stripper.
Oh, yeah. Wait, we haven't even said that she's not a stripper,
saying,
right?
Regardless if she is.
Now you're attacking strippers, dude, and it's
well,
not even. We're not even.
Is your girlfriend a stripper?
No.
Okay. What is she?
She's like a dental hygienist.
So she's a dental hygienist that dresses like a stripper.
Yeah.
On her off hours, right?
Right.
Again, it has a acting out quality to it, and a sort of an antisocial feel
all
to
right.
it. It's a, there's something up with her, and
well,
she's
listen,
either going to deal with it or she
don't,
isn't.
Don't get her pregnant. Don't marry her. Try to coach. I don't mean coach, but try to be with her and support her and try to encourage her to get into some therapy.
Go read about borderline personality disorders. That's kind of what you're describing here. It's borderline traits, and you'll see some of these patterns show up.
All right. Let's talk to Chris down here. Chris?
Yes?
You're 19?
Yes.
You think your husband may be gay?
No, not my husband. My fiancé.
Oh, your fiancé.
Yeah.
Why do you think this?
Okay, little story, won't take long. He used to be my boss, and I worked for him for about a year.
What kind of place was it?
I'm sorry?
What kind of place did you work?
I don't want to say.
Well, all right. Restaurant, movie theater.
There you go, right there. All right, well, I worked for him about a year.
Was that a movie theater?
With a restaurant in it?
Yeah.
Hey, hey, Chris?
Yeah, it was a movie theater.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm absolutely certain.
This is kind of a wild.
What did you do at the movie theater?
I don't want to talk about that.
Next caller.
All right, hey Chris.
No, I'm not going into it. I can't go into that.
All right, baby. You all can't right. go into that?
I can't go into that.
All right. Hey, Chris?
Yes.
Yeah, see ya. Oh, boy. She's breaking my heart. Listen, everybody, I don't care what you want to get into. You get into what we want to get into, or you get into nothing.
And he's probably
got
gay.
No problem with that.
He's probably gay.
Next caller, please.
God, what a bitch.
Next caller, please.
Listen, I'd be sucking too if I... Oh, am I allowed to say that?
Maybe.
No, not allowed to say that. If I was with her for 6 months, I'd be blowing guys left and right. Did you hear what an angry bitch she was? Hey, I mean, like, trolling.
Adam, yeah. Did you know that 50% of the gay, most guys in the gay community don't actually have anal sex?
Engage in anal?
Yeah, did you know
more,
that?
It's more than 50%. And when Adam found that out, he was shocked and dismayed.
Yeah, he was. And disappointed, if there's any of you gays listening. My heart was broken. Once again, disappointed and let down by the gay community.
Well.
Yeah, Drew, what is that? What do you think?
What do I think?
I know, I mean, what do you think the data is on that?
Oh, I bet
we've collected our own data on this.
I bet you it's 30% or less that actually engage in that.
In the actual anal.
Yeah.
And don't they realize that that's our bread and butter as straight guys in terms of making fun of them? How can they do this to us? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they aim to not to gratify you.
I know, but it's a tremendous letdown. And would you really say it's as low as 30%? I mean, what are you basing that on?
Just my sense of it. I have no data on it. None.
Right.
But my sense of, you know, talking to gay people and having gay friends and things, very few of them tend to engage in that stuff. And that's fine.
You know what,
it shows how little we understand, the, you know, those of us that are heterosexual, really what's going on.
Well, but how can you actually really establish wild, that that's true? You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of straight guys that say they eat. What do you say? You know, vagina, whatever.
Right. No,
I don't necessarily do it that often. You know what I mean? How can you really? We don't know. We're not in the room.
Is there a guy like that that says pussies. That? I eat so much vagina, but
or the opposite. Yeah, they say that they sense. Don't when they or you know whatever. I'm not going to get into you.
What a bunch of pussies. Well, if you're suggesting that, basically you're suggesting that no data can be collected on people's intimate behavior, which is
no, I'm not really suggesting that. I'm just saying like that, I don't know, that's shocking, I guess, that only 30% of gay guys.
That suggests how little we all understand what that impulse is.
Yeah.
Because you're saying, well, I want to put this in something, and therefore they must want to do that, too.
Well, they're putting it in a mouth, though.
That's right. Yeah. And then they're into that behavior. That's
well, see, I got to let you know, when at the break, Adam brought this up, and he was giving me this information.
Yeah.
He was telling me.
Now, is that a euphemism, giving you some...
I gave him that good information injection.
It. Chris was giving it.
I downloaded some info. You know what I'm saying?
I nailed this guy in the ass.
I told him, listen, my friend, most of the gays aren't into this. You are now a member of a very elite club.
Yeah.
It's only 30% of us. No, I was surprised and somewhat disappointed when I found
I've
myself.
Had these conversations with gay men, and most of them have a good humor about this too, and some gay males will go, the only real gay men are the receiving partner of this. That's real gay.
Does that make them gayer?
No, I don't know what they mean by that, but you can have a conversation about this. Men don't. They don't talk to their male gay friends about this, and they should.
Now, is a lot of this research,
I mean, really, we should understand this.
Well, you know why I'm sorry for cutting you off, but you know why us males don't talk to our gay friends about it? Because we don't want to catch the 30% and go, oh yeah. I like a lot in my ass, and you're just going,
are you kidding me?
No, those guys are usually very interesting. They are.
I know, but not when they're your buddy.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe.
Take it off. Who was I giving it to? Was that Andy Dick? Yeah. Got him on the air one night. Yeah. Anal Andy Dick in the hizzy. James? Jesus Christ. What do you need me for anymore? James, you're 25.
Yes, I am. And I just have a comment for Dave, if he's in the room.
Yes, he is.
How's it going, Dave? My name is James. I grew up with your brother, and I remember you playing in a lot of bands, like Sex Art and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And,
are you from Bakersfield?
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah, and I just never got a chance, because I don't really see you anymore or anything like that, or your brother. I just want to say congratulations, man.
Oh, thanks a lot, man.
Well, he's too good for you now.
James escaped Bakersfield?
He's a big shot now, living in a bus.
Charlie. We live in buses. Yeah, Dave still lives in Bakersfield.
Yeah. Whenever I'm home, I live in a bus.
But the same house.
Yeah. As an apartment on wheels.
You're welcome, Dave.
So do you have any sexual problems we can help you with, or anything?
No,
Dave?
No, I've been thinking about urinating my girlfriend.
All right. You know, we ought to get some calls, Damien, from some receptive gay male partners to see what their sort of take on this.
That's cool. That would be fun.
Yeah, I would like to get to the bottom of this.
I beg your pardon.
Really.
I want to know if the 30%, if they have never in their lives ever had anal sex, or if they've just, you know, they've done it a couple times and just don't do it. Yeah.
You're talking about the 70%. The 70% that don't.
Yes, right. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I want to know.
And, again, and that number I came up with is my own conjecture.
Well, no, we know. But you're an expert, and everybody knows.
No, not on this.
Just from people you've talked to, they
just my
tell
sense
you.
Of
but
it.
But you're kind
of
intimidating. Like, if you asked me if I had anal sex, I would
tell
you.
I might just
you
tell
know.
You. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I would say.
Did, you
I
have to be honest with your doctor. That's the first step. You never lie to the doctor.
I get a pretty good.
No, we've spoken to a lot of people over the course of this show, and we're always surprised that how few participate in this particular act. But
we get a lot of sort of anonymity with the telephones and stuff.
We catch them by surprise. I mean, it's not like we corner them. They're calling in about something else.
It is a pun to everything you say now.
Yes.
You
corner them, catch them by surprise.
Dig deeper.
Not that
what is
sexual.
Whatever you said.
Mario?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I just wanted to find out. I was having a conversation with my girlfriend, and I wanted to know, do men get orgasms? Yeah, I was asking Dr. Drew.
Come again?
Mario.
I can answer that one.
But Mario, what are you talking about?
Well, me and my girlfriend, we've been having an argument about.
What do you think an orgasm is? What does that word mean to you?
Well, I mean, like some sort of. Like tingling.
Well, here's a question. I got a question for you though. I got a question. When if you haven't had an orgasm yet, is she not touching your clitoris? Is that the deal? Is that what's going on?
No, she's not touching my clitoris.
She's not.
No, she's not.
All That's right. crazy.
Look, Mario, you know the white stuff that comes out of your penis, right? When you're okay, that
counts.
Yeah.
Oh, that counts?
That's
right,
an orgasm.
Yeah.
That's what
okay.
that defines
that
an orgasm.
That is your orgasm.
That is a climax.
Congratulations, you've had it.
All right,
okay,
there, bud.
Excellent.
Yeah, no, I know he sounds like a retard, but no. Here's what he's saying.
I'm completely.
Yeah, please let us
he's
in on
he's talking
the
about one of those
it.
Long, drawn out ones like girls.
Women have the their orgasm.
The
for a lot of guys, it's like they have an orgasm and I come. That's the way a lot of guys approach
that
this.
That is bizarre. Yeah. You're right. I think
but
you're right.
there is a sexual a gender assigned to the different processes or the terms. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Women orgasm, guys come. So the question then, if an orgasm is a sort of psychological or physiological thing that doesn't produce anything, though, just a feeling through the body, can I come and have an orgasm, or do I just come? Is basically the way Mario was.
For the record, no difference.
Yeah.
No difference.
Experienced differently in men and women, but ultimately no difference.
All right, I'm guessing Mario, junior college, or thinking about junior college. Mario?
He just hung up.
Did you hang up? Oh. Yeah, I guarantee.
I was kind of anxious to see what he had to say about that because he was starting to say something about like, well, is the tingling thing? Is that it?
He was warm.
No, that was an easy one.
He watched When Harry Met Sally one too many times and had these
delusions,
great expectations about what's supposed to happen.
No. Yes. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
You're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
There's this girl I like, but I'm sort of shy and I want to know how I can tell her I like her without actually telling her.
Was it writing a note?
What grade is she in?
She's a junior.
And are you a junior too or a freshman?
I'm a sophomore.
Oh, so she's a grade above you.
Yeah.
Which,
do you got a car?
Well, email. Email?
Yeah, in high school it's pretty rough, man. Usually if you're not older than them.
Email's a good idea.
Is she popular?
Sort of.
I mean, did the other guys like her?
they don't really notice her. She's sort of quiet.
Does she have a boyfriend?
No.
How long have you been obsessing about her?
I'm not obsessed with her.
All right. How long have you been thinking about her?
How dare you, girl?
About a month.
Okay.
Does she know you?
Yeah.
She knows your name?
Yeah.
Then don't tell her you like her. That might freak her out. Why don't you just ask her out for just to have a meal with you or something?
So.
Do you talk to her or what?
Yeah.
So you talk to her every day or what?
Like twice a week.
And so just set up something where you can meet with her or.
Where do you? I don't know how this works. I've been out of it for a while, but. Can his publicist just call her publicist and try to arrange some sort of thing?
Just his people.
Do you have a publicist, Tom, or do you have a camp?
I'll give him one bit of advice, though. Let me interrupt you. Make sure that when, you know, if she likes you or anything, or these feelings come out, you got to automatically start ignoring her after that, though. Because in high school, if you don't give them a challenge, they never want to.
Yeah, but you are the brooding type. If a non-brooding type tries to play the brooding type, backfires. Doesn't work.
No, in all serious, man, what about email? Why don't you, I mean, isn't that what the kids do these days? Email?
Old man Cole's over there, dude.
Instant messaging.
Yeah, the little instant message thing. Like, tell her, hey, you know, I like you.
No, then he'll probably.
I don't know what to say.
Just email her.
Because then every time she gets online, he's going to bomb her, you know.
He's going to be blocking the
Tom, do you have her email address?
No.
Oh, you don't?
Oh.
Well, that's a problem.
Right, just ask. Just arrange something outside of school.
Well, where do you see her when you see her? I mean, I know I see her at school, but do you have any classes together?
No, I see her after school at practice.
For what?
Band.
Band?
Swimming.
Swimming.
Oh, dude, that's half the battle won right there, brother.
Dude, you've already got half her clothes off, bro.
At the end of a practice, ask her for a hamburger or something. You know, just go do something with her.
Take her out for a multi.
Even if it's 30 minutes, just do something with her away from
never going to work.
Yeah, just what do you want to get some dinner?
Tom, does she look good in that one piece?
Yeah.
Have you masturbated to her? No.
You haven't?
Please.
You're 16.
I did it once. You're just talking about it. I've never even seen her. What do you swim, Tom? What's your event?
500.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a long one.
Is that freestyle?
I swear I tried that once. I was going to drown.
How many laps is that, bad boy? How many times?
Yeah, that's big, right?
Hey, you must know it very well.
Are you good on the swim team? Does she notice you that way?
Yeah.
All right. And what's she do? Is she good?
Yeah, she's the diving coach.
Coach?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
She's a diving coach? She's in the 11th grade.
Yeah.
Well, no, she's not the coach of the
team. Usual, no
she's
idea like, why we're bewildered.
Doesn't strike. So are all the coaches in your high school attending the school, like the football and basketball
coach? No, I don't think she's a coach, right? She goes to your school. She's in your school, right?
No, she is the coach because, like, last year we didn't have a diving coach.
And, but she's
your age. She's not like a coach, like a teacher coach type, right?
No, yeah, she's...
All right, hold on a second.
Something rotten in Denmark.
No, I know. She is the coach because they don't have a coach and nobody cares. But does Tom have an unlikable quality to him, or is that just me? Is he? I know he's nervous and he's a little shy and he's got a little nerd in him, but he's also a little... Don't you want to punch him just a little bit?
Yeah.
Is there sort of a cocking...
Well, he said he was shy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Blunted meets angry.
Yeah, I mean, when he said, I'm not obsessed.
I guess what I'm saying
is there's sweet shy and then there's sort of Unabomber shy.
Yeah, yeah.
One is like more of an angry shy and the other's just sort of my self esteem's low and I'm
really
shy.
She's a place of authority. I wonder that too, as a diving coach.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Are you a popular guy? You have friends?
Yeah.
Okay. Shocking. Why don't you just ask her out? Don't tell her you like her.
Yeah, forget that part.
Just ask her if she wants to see a movie.
Is there a big dance coming up or something?
There's the junior prom.
Boom.
How about that?
She's a junior, though. She has to ask you, right?
No, he could do it.
I don't get it.
Ask her to a movie, Tom.
There you go.
Okay.
This weekend, all right? Just do it. And you know what? If she says no, no big deal. But that's it. If she says no, no more.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, and do shove a few bars of soap in your Speedo before you head out from the locker, like full-size Irish Spring bars. Three or four.
She'll start noticing you.
I go four, but the average guy go three.
Right.
Say. Just full size. I've never used. It's right out of the cardboard. Irish Spring.
In the cardboard.
In the cardboard. You're right. Why take them out of there? Well, the cardboard can get wet. Really, really hold a lot of water when you climb down the pool. Just continues like two, three more gallons of water coming out of your crotch area while you're smelling your head off at the end of the pool. It may slow you down in the 500, but it's going to pay dividends. In the big, it may
it
act as
like
a keel.
Fin.
Yeah.
Like a
rudder.
All right. Are we going to start talking about fan boats again now?
I'm going to stick some calls about the whole anal thing.
We have them coming up. We have several coming up. And what's interesting, I want to say that after come back from break, but, you know, people want to now argue with us about us saying, hey, we don't really know. We're just observing. Now they're going to be angry with us for having observed anything.
Well, listen.
We want to know.
We want to talk to the gays.
We're interested in this.
We want to talk to the gays and get to the bottom, like I said, of this. All right. We'll take
I've had anal sex.
Take a little break. Edema's here. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Tim, Dave, and Chris are all here from Edema. The CD is called Edema. And
we'll hear another song towards the end of this segment, okay?
Yeah. That takes a back seat, pardon the pun, to what's going on in the back seat of the gays. That's what we're trying to figure out tonight.
Why does that happen? Everything becomes a pun all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, it becomes a double entendre.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
You know what it is, this whole thing? I'm sorry, but I think why it is a little weird is because if they don't have anal sex, then what separates then maybe they're gay.
Maybe we're gay.
Maybe I'm gay, yes.
They love men. They don't. Well, let's hear what he says. We've got a couple of
calls. Oh, we did?
Chris, what if Chris goes down on the guy, but he's not gay? You know what I mean?
If I don't, because I can honestly say I've never had anal sex, so I'm not gay.
All right, here we go.
Notice how he doesn't
talk about oral sex.
Okay,
let's take the call. Let's hear the horse's mouth.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Chris, 40.
Yeah. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Chris.
Good.
Help us out, please.
I don't really have a question so much.
Educate us.
I'm not currently in a relationship right now, but I've been around the block, so to speak, and it's usually because. Not my willingness to get, you know, to be in a gay relationship, but they're being after me, so to speak.
Drew, do you think we're going to learn anything tonight, by the way, by talking to the great crazy gays? They're all hopped up on that amyl poppers.
Well, Chris, help us understand that. We had some questions.
You taking the ass or not?
Yeah.
I prefer not to, but, you know, I have done it in the past.
What determines whether you decide to do that or not? In the gay community?
Wrong question.
All right.
You know a lot of gay men, right?
I've run into one or two now and then.
Can we get another gay?
Oh, just shut up.
What is that?
Hey, hold on a second. Let me yell, Damien. Hey, God damn it! If someone's having trouble talking, don't put them on the effing air. Please. Why is it always so horribly, horribly disappointing to talk to anybody on the show other than the guest and yourself on certain nights, Drew? Why is it?
Why is it
always just snake eyes? We can't ask a homo goddamn question about his asshole and get a decent answer? And Damien, if these guys can't speak, don't put them on the air. Start screening. I don't know who's doing it. Just if these guys are having difficulty answering basic questions, do not put them on the air. I can't take it anymore.
All right. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
But Damien, we do want to know. We want to hear from some gay males. What this is.
And they have to be able to answer your effing question or hang up on them immediately. I ask them, I assume you have a lot of gay friends. I've known a. Oh, shut up, you homos. Jesus Christ, what are they. Some dick dented your brain or something? What happened? I want some answers from you, homos. I want them tonight.
You'll get them.
All right. Bill, you're gay?
Bill.
Sir.
Oh, thank God. and Now, okay, so you're gay, and you know gay men, right?
Yes, sir.
And you've been in a fair amount of relationships.
Yes, sir.
And you've made the scene, so to speak.
Yes, sir.
And been to the clubs and the parties and that kind of thing.
Yes.
And how are we on our estimate of 30% being the norm, or Drew's estimate? I would go closer to 40 or 50% of the gays engaging in anal, like in a relationship.
Correct. I consider myself a top.
Mm-hmm.
And thusly, I am the pitcher.
Pitcher, yeah, got it.
And I'd say of the 40-plus guys that I've been with since I've come out,
mm-hmm.
over a 20-year span, I'd venture to say that it's a good pushing 50%, to be honest. And it depends on your relationship. You guys are right. You're giving them grief, but you're right. You know, you assume a role.
Do you think the fact that you are a pitcher, that you attract guys that are receptive to this?
It's a possibility.
So maybe the quality that you bring to the relationship maybe pushes that number a little higher than average for you.
And I'll be honest, I'm also looked upon as either, you know, in the relationships I've been in, as either like a, God, and I know you guys are going to give me grief over this, as either a dad or a big brother.
Interesting.
I always like younger guys anyway.
And so you sort of, you're the rescuer, you take care of guys and stuff.
To a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Liberace did with that one.
So have you ever taken it in the ass?
Yeah.
You have.
No.
What goes into someone liking or disliking that? Is that a question?
No, that's you can't answer that.
Well, no, you don't like it.
Okay, I got a question then. So you've obviously been with people who don't take it in the old ass, right?
Oh no, everyone I've been with has taken it.
Well, that would be 100%.
Well, okay, from that standpoint, you're right. But
he means regularly.
I have friends who don't. Why do you think?
This is maybe help us with this. Why do you think that it's so confusing to heterosexual males when homosexual males don't do that?
That's another stupid question.
Oh, it's really where my
question is.
No, it's really where my
hold on a second.
Adam,
let me yell. Hold on, Bill. Let me yell at Drew. Drew, you don't need to know the answer.
From his perspective,
we're straight guys.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, we're straight guys. How dare you?
Okay.
We like to make fun of the gay lifestyle, and this is there's more to make fun of here with the ass play. Understand? And this is what we assume.
All right,
this is what we assume.
You know what? I'm sorry. I don't believe it at all. I think the whole 30% thing, I think that 100, I'll say 98% of gay guys have taken it in the ass.
Well, the question,
and now it's all been regressed.
Have taken it is different than.
Well, no, I'm
regular.
Saying maybe they go on hiatus or whatever.
And by the way, it's much more dangerous activity these days, right? And that's
how
you get it.
That could be a factor.
That could be, I guess, a reason.
But Bill,
you're going to do a when. Go ahead.
Well, I guess what I want to ask is everybody has their own personal preferences, whether they're gay or straight.
Right.
And so obviously. What your preference would be the opposite of what our sort of hypothesis is, but you hang around, you have a lot of friends, and you see what goes on, and would you say, what percentage would you put on it if you were to put a percentage on it?
Definitely 50% of
it. Okay.
So 50% do not engage in this. That doesn't mean they have not tried it.
Yeah.
This means it's not a part of their sexual repertoire.
I believe that.
I have one more question. Is there such thing as a gay man that just is a pitcher only?
Yeah, that's him.
But he's taking it, though.
No, but he's taken it. So.
He's tried it.
He's saying, is there a guy that has never... Do you know of any guys that have never, ever had anal sex that are gay?
Yes. I have one buddy specifically I can think of who... But to answer
the
question,
but, you know, he sits there and says, but if I find the right guy, I just might take it once.
Right. That's cool.
Once with the right guy, once.
I bet there's quite a bounty on his ass too. I mean, he's got to be considered the holy grail, guy's ass, right?
He's like the jet fuel in the
Trinity. Bill.
I've got a question though.
Sure.
I've been meaning to call for all these years, and I just want to ask.
Yes, sir.
In terms of from your thought process, and we'll stay in the same genre of gay sex, do you believe that there's a thing as a temporary experimentation and then going back to being hetero?
You know, with human behavior, there's you can never say never always. That must exist out there. But usually when men are going down that path and stop, it's because the vast majority of cases is because they can't cope with the fact that they are homosexual.
That's what I gather.
They suppress it. They repress it. They do all kinds of things to sort of try to manage it rather than accept that more real aspect of themselves.
Right. I mean, I'm talking about specifically a buddy of mine from years ago that,
he and I hooked up for a long period of time.
Yeah, no, that's not experimentation. I mean, experimentation is one or two episodes. Hooking up for a long period of time, that's a commitment.
Well, he wants to get back I think. Huh. And Drew, you said aspect.
Oh, yeah. Funny. Funny.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, we got to hear a song.
No.
Yes, we do.
I got to shut up.
We do. We're never going to hear. Guys.
Time to play this song.
Hey, Todd. Drew, what do you care?
He loves our band, dude.
I like to help these guys out.
We'll play their song.
Yeah.
I got gay guys to talk to, though. We're on a gay roll here, Todd. You ever get one of those gay rolls at the sushi place?
That's nice. Yeah, those are good.
They roll up.
It'll be perfect. We play the song now. We get a bunch of gay calls. We come back after commercial.
Hey, Todd. Hey, are you talking on the air, Anderson?
Yes.
Shut up.
Adam, can we find out if there's any gay guys that have ever peed in a gay guy while having anal sex?
That's
logical.
That may be another show. Todd, what's going on? 37. Todd? Todd?
Todd wants to hear a song, dude.
Caller who goes by Todd?
Perfect. All right. Let's hear an Edema song.
Thank you.
That worked out. You queued up there, Anderson? Just nod your head. All right.
I'm being quiet. Sorry.
Good. Thank you. This is Edema. Thank God we got that over with so we can talk to the gay. Now, that's a demon.
You know, there's applause after every song on the record.
Yeah, that's not Anderson. There it is again. Thank you. All right, Adema's our guest tonight. Adema's the name of the CD, and we're going to get back, and we're going to finish off this this. And I think we will
romp.
Definitively have it figured out by the end of the night.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
After this. Hey! All right. Hey, everyone, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Adema's here tonight. We're talking about the situation, trying to figure out what percentage of gay men engage in anal sex. Not have done it or tried it, but who do it on a regular basis.
It's their usual repertoire.
And we found out from this show that it's less than many of you think.
Yeah.
Most folks assume that if you're gay, that's part of being gay.
Most heterosexual men think that way, I think.
Right. And we found out that it's could be less than 50%. Noel?
Yes.
You're 25.
Yes.
What's your opinion on this?
I think whatever, you know, floats your boat, you just do it. You know what I mean? There's some gay guys that...
All right.
You're gay.
Hey, are you talking to these people before they come on the air, Damien?
Who did this? 40-year-old.
Lauren? Yeah, well, I think whatever floats... No, that's not an answer.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Sal, help me out.
Hey.
You're 31?
31.
You cannot be gay with a name like Sal. What?
Yeah, but I am.
All right.
Good answer. So help enlighten us.
You know,
help us understand.
I've been with quite a few guys, and it's always been either, you know, I myself consider myself a top, you know, about maybe once a month, I like to be a bottom.
Right. And keeping it real.
You know, that's because at that point I'm real horny. And so I'll be honest there. But every guy that I've been with, and I would say it's been over 100, has been either a top or a bottom. Yeah. I know maybe like two people that
really
absolutely
a top or a
do
bottom.
Not engage in anal sex whatsoever.
Wait, what did he say?
He said all of them. I think he said they've either been a top or a bottom.
Yeah, but
right.
Now, we're trying to figure is that a regular part of their menu? You know,
I would venture to say that most gay men.
Are there more tops than bottoms? That's what we want to know.
No, that's not.
No, we're not. We're not trying to. No. What we're trying to figure out is this: everybody's top and bottom. We know that, but who prefers? What do you prefer the most?
How about you?
Yeah, is that what you're looking for?
Wait a minute, guys.
What do you prefer? No, not top or bottom. But what do you prefer? The anal sex or that? I know what we're getting at. But,
all right, hold on. This experiment has gone terribly awry. It's really a fire in the lab.
Pause it while you yell at us.
Yeah. All right, go ahead and yell at us.
Who let these guys on the show? Damien? No.
Sorry.
Here's we're trying to figure out who engages in the oral sex.
Right.
Now he's hanging out with tops and bottoms, right. And that's his crowd. And so according to him, everyone's either a top or a bottom because that's where he goes. My question also, though, for Sal is what happens when a couple of tops square off?
Oh.
Will somebody take
sword
the
fight.
Back seat, pardon the pun?
That's a sword fight right there.
I've been with my partner for the last 6 years,
mm-hmm.
And we are both consider ourselves tops, and I'm the one who usually ends up on the bottom.
I see.
How do you negotiate that?
He's strictly a top. He doesn't take it at all. You know, he has a couple of times. I won't say that he hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, I wouldn't want to admit that.
You know,
right.
At least once a month, you know, I really want it, or I'm willing to, you know.
All right, so
he has it. So you take it. Well, does
wait
he take
minute.
It ever?
Now, wait a minute. At least
Sal's the top, but he's taking it in the ass all
but,
the time?
But he said only once a month.
Sal's confusing me.
His partner's getting on the bottom once a month.
Oh, I see.
But you know what else? You guys are talking about your straight buddies, you know, talking to your straight buddies about...
All right, I'm done with Sal. Because Sal started off the conversation by saying he was the top of the tops.
Yeah, yeah.
He was king sodomy.
Yeah.
And now, as it turns out, once a month he gets it, but he's getting nailed in the ass the rest of the month.
I
are there any guys out there that just have oral sex?
All right,
that's all they do.
Ask David this.
David?
Hey, David.
Hey, what's up?
Do you just ever have sexual encounters where the only thing you do is have oral sex, both of you?
Of course. I mean, like, it depends on who you're doing what with, you know?
And right. is that a more common thing than not?
No, it depends on the encounter and, like, the nature of the encounter.
Answer the question. Is that a more common thing than not?
Yeah, most of the time, like anal sex isn't usually involved.
Most of the
okay,
time.
I got it.
That, right, that's cool.
Finally some answers.
I think that the whole top and bottom thing is stupid.
All right.
And that's a separate subject.
We were just trying to establish straight guys are a little flipped out that gay males most of the time are just engaging in oral
sex. I think disappointed is the word.
Well,
I think
we're very dismayed,
disappointed. Anything that starts with D.
That's where we got led astray was depressed. The whole top and bottom thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. So David, from your experience, from your friends and the people you know in the gay community, are we right when we think that anal sex is something that's not as popular as we would think as heterosexuals? I mean, what percentage just don't really participate in that aspect of it?
I think a lot of guys I know, if they're not in a relationship, they don't have anal sex, but if they are in a relationship, they're more likely to do it.
Oh, interesting.
That's interesting twist.
So when you're just kind of floating around, going from bar to bar.
Oh, well, then you just do whatever, yeah.
It's just oral.
Well, that's kind of like men and women, though.
I guess it does work that way.
Because if you're
kind of
going on a couple dates with a chick, you just might do that number and then
get a BJ in the tour bus.
Not really
whatever you want to do, you know what I mean?
Just a scenario.
It doesn't happen.
I'm not saying you need to be on tour to be in a tour bus. I'm not saying necessarily a band member either.
Come on, my
said band on said occasion in said tour bus, if such a thing existed.
That's right. It's a lot of guys with regular jobs that aren't in the music industry that will use a tour bus to get oral.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Right.
Yeah.
My manager.
Okay. Yeah. Nope. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew, and that's the show. Ryan Reynolds will be in here tomorrow night. He's from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, and he's doing this new Van Wilder movie. He's the star of it, this new National Lampoon movie.
Nice.
Good guy. Did the Rock and Jock thing with him in New Orleans a few weeks back, so it'll be good to see him. I want to thank Adema for coming in here one more time and being great guests.
Thanks,
really appreciate it. Yeah, had a fun time with you guys tonight. And, anytime you'd like to come back, come on back.
We'd love to
have you. So until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Why is it?
Why is it
always just snake eyes? We can't ask a homo goddamn question about his asshole and get a decent answer?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.